Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Pod bless everybody. I'm your host of OPP, Corey Cambridge. And before we get started with this amazing episode, I want to tell you about my other show, Silent Giants. Silent Giants is a podcast that highlights superstars behind the scenes of popular culture. Ever wondered who made the MTV logo? Did you know the person who wrote Earth, Wind & Fire's hit song September also wrote the theme song for the hit 90s TV show Friends? On Silent Giants, we learn more about these amazing people and dig deep to learn more about their most famous works. Be sure to check out Silent Giants on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Now, let me introduce you to our special guest of OPP.
Hi, this is Chanel Tsang. I'm with Peace Out Podcast, and this is OPP.
God bless everybody and welcome back to another episode of OPP, Other People's Podcasts, is America's number one podcast discovery platform that highlights your favorite podcasters and the dope shows they created. Our special guest this episode is Chanel Tsang, host of the amazing podcast, Peace Out. On this amazing pod, Chanel shares stories that help children calm down and relax by guiding them through visualization and breathing techniques. This pod is perfect for parents and teachers who want to teach mindfulness and self-regulation. In this interview, we're going to learn more about Chanel. We chat about her career in child development. We discuss mental health for infant children. We get her podcaster's picks. And of course, we chat about her dope show, Peace Out. So, allow me to introduce you to Chanel Tsang. Yo, what's up, Chanel? How are you?
Hi, Corey. Thanks so much for having me.
Yo, it's such a pleasure having you on the podcast. I discovered your show a couple of months ago and instantly reached out. I was like, yo, this is interesting. Like, the beautiful thing about podcasting is that it opens up a new world to me of things that I just didn't think exist or causes that people believe in and stuff like that. And this is amazing.
Oh, that's really interesting. Usually I think of podcasting because as a great way to connect with people who are interested in the same thing. So I kind of like that you've sort of flipped that and you're connecting with people who are opening you up to new things, which is great.
Yeah. Every day's a new adventure. So tell me about your background.
Sure. Well, I started my career teaching in Montessori settings and also working with a lot of children and families in a parenting and family literacy center. So this was a drop-in program for families with children under the age of six. And part of our work was to prepare them for that transition into kindergarten. And a lot of what I focused on was the social and emotional skills. So things like how to make friends, how to recognize your emotions if you're feeling upset, and the self-regulation piece. And from there, I started to build on that and try to think about a way to encourage children to learn these types of skills. And that's how we sort of landed on Peace Out and started that podcast.
Now, I'm based here in America, based in Brooklyn. And so I'm kind of aware of the challenges of the educational system, the good and the bad of the situation here in the States. But What is it like being a teacher, and what is the Canadian education system like right now from your perspective?
Well, I was never in the public education system. So Montessori is a private school, although I have a lot of friends who are working in the public system. And I also worked for a school board when I was working in the family drop-in center, just not in a teaching role. Well, right now it's a little bit challenging. There are a lot of things happening with the unions and teachers who are fighting for students. Students' rights, and also programs that are getting cut or introduced. So it's sort of a challenging time right now in Ontario, at least in Canada.
What drew you to education and working with children?
I've always really enjoyed working with children. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just, they're just so it's just at a time where their whole life is ahead of them. So if I can at least be there to help guide or help to sort of be a positive influence, I think that's very special.
What are some of the biggest issues that you see that children are dealing with kind of right now from your perspective?
Well, I don't think this is probably not anything new, but I think that there is a lot of pressure with this whole new world of social media and being connected all the time. And I think that it opens up a lot of different issues. So for example, I mean, back then when we were younger, if we were experiencing bullying, for example, that sort of stopped at the end of the day because you kind of went home and hopefully that was a safe place for you. But now it kind of extends, so it's online. So if you're getting bullied at school, that translates into being bullied at home because you're just online and you're seeing people post things, and it's just sort of a nonstop barrage of pressures that I think children and young people are facing today. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges.
Is there anything that you recommend that parents can do to help regulate how social media plays a role in a child's mental health?
I think social media is not my area of specialty at all, but I always think that when I worked with families, I always encourage them to, you know, really take the time to spend time with their children and understanding where they're coming from. So, for example, if you see your child experiencing, I don't know what a lot of people call a temper tantrum, just to sort of take a step back, take a breath, and sort of understand that there's something behind. There's a reason behind that, the yelling and the misbehavior, and sort of reframing that the approach. And I think that if parents and educators do that, and a lot of them do that, they can start helping what's behind that behavior, because that behavior is sort of the end of the road. I mean, a child has tried any sort of strategies they might have and nothing else is working. And that's when the crying and the screaming and the whatever is happening. So also reframing that sort of approach, but then also working with the child to give them tools. So for example, with our podcast, we talk about breathing strategies and being mindful, and also other different techniques like that. So just that they might not remember the five different strategies you talk about, but maybe they'll remember one or two, and then they'll have that in their tool belt. So when next time they feel upset or frustrated or hurt, they'll be able to access that and help themselves. And then also to know that they can reach out and that their parents and educators are a safe person to talk to about these things.
There's one thing that I came across when I was doing research on you, that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that this was a thing or an issue that folks are dealing with, is the issue of, I know that mental health is really, really important, but the mental health of infants and young children. I think for most people, we associate mental health with, you know, older folks and, you know, stuff like that. But tell me more about this, because this was shocking and alarming to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something new to me too. I took a training that was done with the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, and it was really great. It brought together a lot of great people in the field, and we took these webinars and learned a lot about infant mental health. And like you, I didn't know much about it either before that. But mental health really is like any health; it starts at birth. So just as when the child is born, there's just so much brain development in the first 3 years of life. So things like promoting like a healthy attachment to their primary caregiver, or knowing that if they're uncomfortable or if they need a need met, like comforting or being fed or changed, those sort of basic needs of babies, that those will be met in a caring way. And that sort of starts building that foundation for healthy mental health for the rest of their lives.
How can we, as potential parents or people who are one day, I hope to be a dad one day, what can we do to look out for our child's mental health?
Well, I think even just starting as when they're babies is just being more being conscious and attuned to their needs. So there's a what's called serve and return. So for example, it's just having almost a conversation with your baby. So they learn how to talk by watching our faces, how our mouths move when you're making different sounds or words. And, you know, if they're making a face at you, you could sort of make a face back at them, or if they make a little cooing noise, you sort of echo that, and it becomes like a back and forth, or what's called a serve and return. So it's that interaction and encouraging the baby or the child to keep going and keep interacting, and they're really learning a lot from your facial expressions if you're holding them, that sort of connection and touch, and then continuing it on as they grow up and they're older, is to always making that time to be with them and to speak with them. I know that it's so, I think parents and caregivers have so much pressure nowadays. There's so much to do. People working multiple jobs. Sometimes it just feels like there's not a lot of time. But just even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just sort of sitting and, you know, seeing how their day was, or reading a book together, just having that connection and building that foundation, so the child knows that you're this, like a home base, like a place where they can go to all the time. And again, it's that safe space. And that also helps them, encourage them to even go out and explore, because they know that they can always come back to you, after, when they need to either recharge, or they're tired, or they just need a rest. And then when they're ready, they go back out again. And that's going to continue on for the rest of their lives when they're teenagers or adults and they move out. But that you're always that safe home base for them to return to time and time again.
Chanel, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into your podcast. Peace
Great.
Out.
Sounds good.
All right. Yo, Chanel, we are back.
All right.
Okay, so Chanel, I want to take you way back right now. Mm-hmm. And tell me, how did you first discover the medium of podcasting?
Well, I've always loved radio, and I've always loved talk radio. I remember falling asleep to it as a kid. And I've got two kids of my own. They're 7 and 9 now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
But a few years ago, we'd have our whole bedtime routine. They'd brush their teeth, get ready for bed. We'd read a book. And then we somehow, I don't even remember how, but we discovered children's podcasts, stories podcasts. So after they were put to bed, we would play a story for them with the lights out. And that sort of kind of ended their day in a very relaxing way. And I came across a really nice story podcast called Storytime by Bedtime FM. And this was, I thought it was a really great one, because it wasn't, a lot of the authors were independent authors from around the world. I thought that the stories were very sweet and funny, and they were very age appropriate. So I started following Storytime's Facebook page and their Twitter account. And one day, Rob Griffiths, the founder of Bedtime FM and the creator of Storytime, he put out a call to parents who listened, asking for volunteers to help out with the podcast. So of course I messaged him, and I said I was really interested in helping and however I could. And I started helping by researching stories, writing and narrating stories. And then, as I mentioned previously, I was working at the Family Center, supporting families transitioning into kindergarten and talking about social emotional skills and the importance of that to a child's success, and not just in school, but in life. And I came up with this idea of sort of doing relaxation stories that focused on breathing and mindfulness, bringing in yoga, which I really love. And then also sort of in the background, talking about these social emotional skills, like making friends or recognizing when you're upset. And he went for it. So we've been doing that for 3 years now, 3 seasons. And our 4th season is starting up very soon in 2020.
What issues were you looking to solve, or your intention with this podcast?
That is a great question. I think my intention for this was to make it, make the idea of social and emotional learning and introducing things like yoga and mindfulness and even meditation to children to be an accessible tool. I mean, we didn't start this in any way to make money or anything like that. We don't put ads on it. It's free for everyone online or on any podcast app. And our hope was just to have this as a free resource for teachers and parents to use at home and in the classroom.
Chanel, you have such a soothing voice.
Same to you, Corey.
it's very very calming.
Oh, thank you.
Was it a challenge for you, stepping into the role of being the host? And how did you discover your voice? Because even speaking with you, you have such a calm and relaxing tone.
Thank you. I think it was very easy because. It was, for me, I am just naturally very soft-spoken when I was, teaching or working. I think my challenge was always to raise my voice higher when I was speaking to children or whoever. So being able to just sit sort of, I'm just in my bedroom by myself with my computer and recording equipment, it's actually easier for me because I can sort of do that at my own pace. There's the microphone, so it sort of amplifies anything that needs to be louder. And I think I'm always imagining I'm speaking directly to the children, and just from my years of working with children, that part was came pretty easily for me as well.
I always tell folks who want to get into podcasting that it's an amazing way to either rebrand yourself mm-hmm. or enhance the brand you've already established for yourself.
Right.
You were already so accomplished in your profession before you started your podcast. How has this enhanced your brand personally?
I think this has really allowed me to do something creative. Right now in my current role, which I absolutely love, it just sort of opens a different part of, for me, to develop my creative side. You know, I'm researching and writing these relaxation stories, being able to figure out how it's going to sound in that way. So I think it sort of activates a different part of my brain and part of my interests, which is I'm really thankful for. I think everybody needs a creative outlet. It might not look exactly like drawing or writing. It could be anything like podcasting. So maybe in a way that's sort of feeding the need for some people who want to express themselves creatively.
For folks who have not listened to Peace Out, mm-hmm. can I get an elevator pitch from you? Just kind of giving a general consensus of what the show is about.
Sure. Well, Peace Out are 10 to 15 minutes of relaxation stories. We start off with the calm down countdown to get our minds and bodies ready. And there are usually three exercises focused on breathing. And we talk a lot about different things in between, from meteors and to superheroes.
And what have you learned from your podcast that you didn't know before you started it?
I learned that there are a lot of people who are looking to connect in some meaningful way. So just from getting different reviews and emails and messages from parents and teachers and even children, older children from around the world who listen and who really found some sort of meaning or some use out of Peace Out, which I'm always grateful for. And it's, I think, very very encouraging to meet these people who are also trying to find ways to support their children in terms of their mental health and their awareness of their emotions and compassion. And I think that's it was very exciting to me to connect with those people and listeners around the world.
After our interview, I hope that everyone goes right away and listens to Peace Out. But what do you want them to walk away with after listening to your podcast? What's the overall encompassing goal?
I hope that they walk away with just the knowledge that it's okay to pause during the day at any time. It could be for 10 seconds. It could be for 10 breaths. It could be for 10 minutes. And just be able to just sort of pause life, take a few breaths, do something for yourself, and then recharge and make yourself ready to take on whatever you're taking on.
So, Chanel, we've come to a point in the show called our Podcasters picks. Now, this is when I asked the guests of today's show to provide me with three podcasts that they enjoy that we should be listening to. So, Chanel, take it away.
Well, I think I'll do something a little different than maybe the other guests have done, which is I'm going to focus on children's podcasts, just because the realm I'm in. The first one, of course, is Bedtime FM's other podcast, Storytime. And I'd really recommend that this, even if I wasn't connected to it, because I really do think that they take the time to choose their stories carefully. I know that in our discussions about is this story right for our podcast, there's a lot of discussion. The other parents on the team are educators or work with children in some way or have children. And then we talk about if it's appropriate, the wording, is the vocabulary inclusive? So there's a lot of thought behind that curating process for stories. I think it sounds great too. And so I would really recommend Storytime from Bedtime FM. The other one that my children really like is Little Stories for Tiny People. This is hosted and created by Rhea Pector, and she just has a very unique way of putting together a very meaningful, funny, sweet story that touches on different issues that children face, and all put together in a very funny way and very entertaining for kids, I think. So that's my second one. Oh, and then for the third one, we girls really, really, really like Wow in the World, which is an NPR podcast for children. It's hosted by Mindy Thomas and Guy Raz, and it's just so funny. I hear them singing their songs just, you know, in the schoolyard and talking about it, and it really inspires things in them. We were really listening to an episode about black holes, and now my youngest is asking me all the time about black holes, and it's really opened up this whole new discussion and exploration of space. So I think that's really, really neat. And those are my three.
Wow. Chanel, before we get out of here, why do you podcast?
I think if I'm able to reach one child or one teacher, parent, practitioner, and impact them in a positive way and make them think about social emotional learning or being mindful, and I think that would have been well worth the time that I, as well as Rob, spend on making this podcast. And it's just fun too to do this.
Chanel saying, thank you so much for being a guest on OPP. I really appreciate what you bring to the space. And, you know, Pa bless you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of OPP and to our special guest, Chanel Tsang. You can find Peace Out on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. This episode was mixed by Sixth Sense. Theme music for this episode was produced by Richie Quake. And are you down with OPP? If so, please be sure to leave me a 5-star rating in the Apple app and let me know your favorite podcasters in the review section. Lastly, before we get out of here, be sure to check out my other show, Silent Giants, which highlights the superstars behind the scenes of popular culture. And you can find Silent Giants on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Pa bless everybody. Till next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.